From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Lessons from Joshua Sending Spies to Jericho, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. The earnest of our inheritance. Oh, what enlightenment, what joys, what consolation, what delight of heart is experienced by that man who has learned to feed on Jesus and on Jesus alone. Yet the realization which we have of Christ's preciousness is, in this life, imperfect at the best. As an old writer says, 'tis but a taste. We have tasted that the Lord is gracious, but we do not yet know how good and gracious He is, although what we know of His sweetness makes us long for more. We have enjoyed the first fruits of the Spirit, and they have set us hungering and thirsting for the fullness of the heavenly vintage. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Here we are like Israel in the wilderness, who had but one cluster from Eshcol. There we shall be in the vineyard. Here we see the manna falling small, like coriander seed. But there shall we eat the bread of heaven and the old corn of the kingdom. We are but beginners now in spiritual education, for although we have learned the first letters of the alphabet, we cannot read words yet, much less can we put sentences together. But as one says, he that has been in heaven but 5 minutes knows more than the general assembly of divines on earth. We have many ungratified desires at present, but soon every wish shall be satisfied, and all our power shall find the sweetest employment in that eternal world of joy. O Christian, antedate heaven for a few years. Within a very little time thou shalt be rid of all thy trials and thy troubles. Thine eyes, now suffused with tears, shall weep no longer. Thou shalt gaze in ineffable rapture upon the splendor of Him who sits upon the throne. Nay more, upon His throne shalt thou sit. The triumph of His glory shall be shared by thee. His crown, His joy, His paradise, these shall be thine. And thou shalt be co-heir with Him who is the heir of all things.
Thank you.
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. The battle for Jericho was looming before the children of Israel, and the people naturally were apprehensive. The report of the spies gave them much confidence. In addition to meeting the people's deep-seated need, Joshua also established sane ways of assuring the people of the will of God. Dr. Cairns has emphasized the importance of using biblical means of determining the Lord's will. The first step, as we've heard, is to look for corroborating evidence of God's will. Then it's necessary to find the first and best starting point. In this case, it is the Word of God and prayer. Further steps include the importance of the reasonable use of means, as well as the heeding the personal witness of those who have experience in this spiritual endeavor. There were only two spies, but their testimony encouraged the people to press forward in the conquest. Both ingredients were necessary, the leaders and the followers. The result was victory at Jericho. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message. lessons from Joshua sending the spies to Jericho.
There are some things about which you don't need any special revelation. For instance, holiness, separation unto God. You don't need any special revelation of God's will. If you're a member of an apostate church, a church in the World Council of Churches, seeking union with the Church of Rome, denying the very foundation of Christianity, hey, you don't need any revelation from God to tell you what to do there. He says, come out from among them, be separate, don't touch the unclean thing, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that never can mean, whether in Hebrew, Greek, English, or double Dutch, it can never mean go in, throw your arms around them, have fellowship, let your light shine, and stay among them. It can never mean that. So there are some things about which you don't need any further revelation. God has spoken finally, and that's it. You do it. There are other things you don't need any special revelation upon, because God has given you a brain. And He's already said, this is what I want you to do. So you take the logical steps about doing it. When the Lord lays a great work in our hearts, like Joshua, that's what we should do. Take the reasonable, logical step to accomplish it. And if the Lord desires anything else, He'll stop you. This is how Paul lived. Sometimes we think that Paul lived with his head right up there in the clouds of heaven, and that God dictated every little step that Paul was going to take. But that's not how it worked. God set Paul apart to the work to which He had called him. Now when you go to Acts 13, where do you read? Where do you read that God told him which city to go to next, and all in this order? You don't. He took it in a perfectly logical, reasonable way. When you come to Acts 16, you find that he was going to continue with that. And in verse 6 through 10, he saw Mysia. That's the next place to go to. So I'm going to go. But the Lord stopped him. He said, well, I'm going to go there. And the Lord stopped him. Those were the logical things to do. And Paul lived his life that way. I have the master plan. I'm called of God to go and preach and to be a minister and be a missionary. And I'm in the area that I know the Lord has put me in. So, what do I do? Sit here waiting for a light from heaven to tell me whether it's this town I go to first? Paul never even dreamed of that. He just went. And if he got the sequence wrong, the Lord stopped him. And then the Lord sent him into Macedonia and into Philippi. Seeing ways of knowing that we're doing the will of God. My time is gone, so I'll summarize the other two great benefits of Joshua sending the spies. He taught the people, not only in that age but every age, the power of witness from personal experience. The power of witness from personal experience. Time forbids that we go through the scriptures in that this morning. But let me tell you, when you put yourself in that crowd of Israelites, see the spies coming back. Listen to what they said. Their testimony, their experience, must have had an electrifying and stimulating impact and effect upon the people who heard them. All the Lord has said is true. We have seen and heard ourselves. We have proved it. You see, testimony that illustrates the truth of the Word of God brings the doctrines, principles, and promises of God's Word before the people in a way that grips the heart and commands the will. That's why the Bible uses it so liberally. What did Jesus say to His disciples? Ye shall be my what? Witnesses. Why? This is God's way of working. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, what did He do? Did He hold an open air meeting in Jerusalem? No. Now, if you and I had been doing it, this is what we would have done. We would have held a vast open air meeting. We'd have all the crowds there. Jesus would have stood up and said, here I am, alive from the dead. But He didn't do it that way. And He was right. You see, He said in the great portion of Luke 16. If they don't believe the Word of God, they'll still not believe though one should rise from the dead. And if he had stood before them, the high priest would have whipped them up again, and their own pride would have made them reject him all over again, and they would have said he never really died, and all the rest of that nonsense. So what did he do? He appeared to his disciples, to people who knew that he was dead and who knew that he was alive, to people whose lives were transformed from craven cowardice into mighty courage that moved the world for God through a personal meeting with a living Savior. And in so meeting with them, he led a factual, historical, and evidential framework upon which every generation that followed could prove the resurrection of Christ. And today it is still one of the, I would say, the most certainly historically verifiable event in history. Yet, we undervalue witness. No, Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. Peter said, we are his witnesses. And so also is the Holy Ghost. The psalmist said, come and hear, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Could I say to you, that's what Greenville is dying for? Greenville is hundreds of churches. It is all the religion in the world, so much religion that you would choke on it. What this area is dying for is people who are real witnesses with a real experience of a real Savior who can meet real sinners and say, come and hear what he has done for my soul. I'm not out to make you a Presbyterian. I'm not out to make you a Baptist. I'm not out to convince you of my scheme of eschatology. I want to tell you what he's done for my soul. Oh, the power of such a witness. I read a beautiful illustration of it. Before the communists took over in China, a missionary doctor there performed eye surgery on a man who had been blinded by cataracts. It was like a miracle to this man. He had never seen or heard of anything like this. He was obviously grateful. So grateful indeed that a couple of months later, the doctor looked out, and there was this man at the head of a long rope, and hanging on to the rope there were 40 blind men. They had trudged for 250 miles, hanging on to that rope to get to that doctor, because there was a man there who said, I was blind, and he made me see. Power, personal witness. The last thing that Joshua did by using the spies was that he used the few to galvanize the many into confident action. Those spies are in many ways the tiny vanguard of special gifted instruments of the Lord's will. Sometimes they're visionaries, sometimes they're pioneers, they're course charters in church history. We could never do without those people. We could never do without the Whitfields and the Wesleys and the Edwards and the Brainerds and the Careys. We could never do without those people. But did it ever strike you that equally they could never do without us? However gifted, they can no more do the work of God alone than those two spies could have conquered Jericho on their own. That's why Paul implored the Christians, be followers of me. All great men, all leaders, as it were, need a host of ordinary Christians to follow in their steps. I was thinking of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was unique in many ways. A gifted man, a great man, and an indefatigable worker. A man who could bear anything, pay any price, undergo any hardship, suffer any loss,
And he proved it. To serve God in mainland China. But alone. Alone. Hudson Taylor's impact on China and world missions would have been negligible. The greatest importance of Hudson Taylor was not only what he did himself, which was mighty, but his greatest importance was that the Lord used him to stir up hundreds and then thousands of others to become missionaries as well. Few of us will ever be a Joshua or of the caliber of the two spies. Few of us will ever be like Hudson Taylor, but we can still be of use to the Lord. Men and women, we need to catch the vision of the few. We need to do what the Israelites did in going in where the spies had gone before. We need to feel Paul's burden for the lost. We need to feel Robert Murray McShane's passion for Christ-likeness. We need to feel John Hyde's zeal for prayer. The use of the spies then presents us with a twofold challenge. One, follow the lead of choice men of God and abandon ourselves to the work in constant and confident victory. Can you do that today? Don't sit back waiting until you're great before you do something for God. Don't sit back saying, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a singer, I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, those are all carnal excuses for indulging the flesh. The challenge is not necessarily to take the abominable English of the Star Trek soundtrack, to boldly go where none has gone before. That's not necessarily the only way to serve God. The way is to go many a time where others have charted the course before you. Will you do that? And then maybe the Lord will take you on a second step, so that you then will provide such a lead to other people that by your own unwavering assurance of God's truth and promise, you will lead them to follow on to know the Lord. I trust today the Lord will truly teach us the importance, the influence, the necessity of the witness of the few in leading the many. And let us get together, few and many, fully to follow our God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.